This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now a doohy after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here. It's me, Matty J, online with Mr. Edward Bunting, Mr. David Prince, and Mr. Scotty Doe Johnson. How are you, gentlemen?
Good evening,
Matt. Very well, thank you, Matt.
Good, thanks, good.
Howdy, howdy.
Good to see all of you, gentlemen. Good to see, Scotty, you look quite fresh, Scotty. Like, is it just me or does Scotty look really refreshed? And he's got a polo shirt on, looking really chill.
Yeah, Scott,
like he's just stepped up the golf course.
I know. Have you been golfing this afternoon?
No, just work.
Just work?
Fair. I wish.
Parent-teacher interviews, I'm guessing.
No.
Ooh, okay. I've got my
regular work. Regular work keeps Scotty young.
I've got my next Wednesday and Thursday's parent-teacher interviews, and they're the first parent-teacher interviews we're having back in person. So, because I'm just like, if the system was working so well on Zoom or on Teams, why would you do this? But that's I'm not the boss, so don't make the shots. Parentage interviews are happening. But anyway, gentlemen, let's get into some car updates before this becomes an educational show, which it is an educational show as it normally is. We hear Scotty's golf tips and stuff like that. Edward Bunting, you were first on this evening. Updates for you.
Car updates. What did we get to last time? I can never quite recall.
Saab got roadworthied.
Saab is roadworthy currently. I've advertised that car online on Marketplace, and the first photo, I figured out how to put writing on a photo, and it says current roadworthy. Mm-hmm. So can't argue with that. Having said that, there was one guy that contacted me and said, oh, I'm going overseas for a month. Could you get the roadworthy in like 1 month's time? And I'm like, no. Mate, it's got it. Like, I thought, God, they're even whinging. Even when I give you a roadworthy on a flat, you know, these potentials still whinge. Oh, no, they're happy to take the roadworthy. The timing of the roadworthy is wrong.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, not my problem. So anyway, I've got a viewing on that Thursday night. Someone's coming to have a squiz, so that will be the first inspection. So
it looks great in the photos. So, I mean, whoever sticks their head inside that car will go, yep.
It's not a perfect car. It's 1997, but our friend who's been on Rowan is a Saab Master technician. He did his many, many years working on those, and he drove it the other night and he said, oh, that drives like a new one, you know, like tight, rattle-free, punchy. He said the idle's perfect. Like he said you wouldn't pick anything on that in terms of how it drives, which I also thought, but I don't remember new ones. He drove heaps of them. So it was encouraging to hear that he thought it sounded really good for 234,000 kilometers. It's been very well serviced. So
I actually really liked that era Saab. Like they were a relatively good car from all accounts.
Yeah, exactly. They're a nice thing. And Rowan, as I said, Rowan said that model was good. You know, the non-turbo, just plain Jane 2.3. They're very tough. He said that the autos are strong and the motors are strong. And yeah, there's no reason not to like it. I mean, like anything, he said they do the odd timing chain, but they'll get noisy first, so you know about it. And some of them used to do the odd head gasket, but pretty rare. And he reckons they're a pretty good thing. So, and for the money, God, you can't argue. There's not much around that's kind of cool and safe and whatever. I advertise for $3,600 with a roadworthy. It's
that's
not
a lot of car for like
not a lot of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
You know, really, it probably should be 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, but they're just not. They're a niche car. So
the fact that it's got a roadworthy, like it's hard to get cars with a roadworthy, and that's got a roadworthy. So like that's
I was saying to Tommy the other day, like anything with a roadworthy almost now is $3,000. Like.
Yep.
It could be any car in the existence of the automobile. If it's got a roadie, no matter how crap it is, it's kind of a $3,000 car. So And this gets you two doors and alloys and cruise and heated front seats and, you know, it gets you
a few. Talladega badge.
Talladega sports kit and this Talladega badge. Yeah, so, you know, it's, for an extra $600 over and above the bread and butter, you know, that's not bad value.
David Prince, I think that's a – I know you're partial to a Saab. I can see your name all over that.
I do like a Saab, but I was just thinking when you said you always like that era of Saabs, it's probably a generational thing, but I was like the previous generation.
Mm, yeah.
I do like the original 900s, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
quirky.
A bit more edgy.
Yep. And just so many little differences and unconventional sort of packaging.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Saab is advertised. I've been driving around in that. Had the Pajero service today, which is just oil filter, air filter, nothing out of the ordinary, just a regular scheduled maintenance. I told you I bought those tyres for the Pajero. I haven't had one yet. That'll be the next thing to go on maybe this week or next week when I can be asked taking it down the road. The Civic is still at our friendly mechanic down the road. He's put in the other shock absorber in the front and he said, oh, I still think it feels a bit weird. Come and drive it. So I'm going down tomorrow morning to take it for a spin just to see what he's on about. But it felt great. Other than one shock feeling softer than the other, it was tracking beautifully. I had it aligned. It was driving fine. So I can't imagine it's worse than that. Anyway.
Tricky.
So that's that. I spoke to the guy. Finally got onto the guy that's doing my Renault 16 engine that's taking many years to do it. But that's kind of been okay. I ran out of money and I was sort of like, all right, that can tick over in the background. So I talked to him. The only thing he's missing is the valve springs, valve collets, valve shims out of the head. And we had another complete head that went missing from his workshop because the scrap metal guys came around and, you know, he didn't tell them to take it, but they accidentally sort of ended up taking it. So a complete head with everything in it went to the scrapper, which
that sounds like a him problem. And then he needs to.
Well, it was, and he was very apologetic. You know, he said, I knew where it was. It was sitting right there. I said, you can take that and that. He said, they've taken that plus the head that we didn't tell them to take. So that was annoying, but it was sort of okay because I had the original head off the car, but the original head off the car was sort of pulled apart a bit and missing these valve springs and things. So I rang my mate who owned the car before me last night and had a chat, and he said, yeah, all that's there, just in boxes. It was out of the head, but it was all there and labeled. And I thought, great, that means I'll have it in my garage buried in a pile of parts. So all I've got to do is go around there and pull everything out of the rat cave and find the said parts. So that's good. I was thinking I'd be scouring the world for obscure Renault parts, but it looks like I won't have to. But that's really the only thing the engine guy said that's stopping that motor being completed is that. So Wow. Hallelujah. I'll go rummaging. I was going to go around tonight after this podcast, but maybe that's a tomorrow night Ed problem. I'll see how excitable I get after this. I might be all stirred up on cars and go.
See how you go on in the quiz, Ed.
Yeah, if I win the quiz, maybe that's okay. We'll say that. If I win the quiz, I'll go with some rummage for Renault parts. If I'm depressed, I won't.
We'll make it easy for you then.
So that's kind of my car updates. I don't think there's anything else in the wings.
That was the docile tone of Chad, who's he's jumped on. Alan's also jumped on. He's live from the studio, but he's just sorting something out. So we'll get back to him in a second. Chad, as you've just joined us, we're in the middle of car updates. David Prince, updates with you.
Updates with me. I've been otherwise occupied the last couple of weeks, so I haven't been around. I can't remember the last thing I talked about. The N1 is for sale, awaiting, and I'm still waiting for one to pop up in Japan to my specifications to replace it with, which hasn't happened yet. So we're not in any great hurry for that. So I've been consoling myself with actually enjoying having some space in the garage to sort out magazines and some brochures and some other stuff that seems to be accumulating. I was given another pile of magazines the other night from someone who I didn't even know had car magazines at their house. And they're absolutely pristine. I don't think some of them have ever been opened. And they're all 70s, 80s, or just some fantastic magazines. And I just have a flick through, you know, one, and then, you know, one becomes three, and then, oh, there's gone 3 hours. So, you know, it's just great comparison tests I've never seen before. And
cool.
Yeah, so it's that's been very enjoyable. I've also got the water-cooled Z in my garage, so I've been keeping that running and taking that for a few drives. I replaced the Z body was the first of the monocoque constructed Hondas, so the sort of side panels are actually welded onto the center of the car. So, well, a lot of early Hondas, a lot of early Japanese cars for that matter, had like a seam along the roof and a rubber infill strip. The ones on the Z were never really great, and I was rummaging around in the gearbox a couple of weeks ago that the club has all their spare parts in, found the old ones from the Project Accord, which are actually only a couple of years apart, but they're exactly the same strips. So I've adapted those. They look much better, tidied up some of the badges on it. So, yeah, just doing a little bit of fiddling to that. It's starts and drives beautifully. You've still got to have a drive with that, boys. That's an incredible.
I haven't seen that car, that purple thing.
No. It's so much fun. And being a bit later and a bit more developed than the Scamp and being water-cooled and that, it's such a sweet little car, fully synchro gearbox. You change up at about 7,500 revs every shift. It's a very cool little car.
It's a lot of revs.
And given it's Grand Prix week, last weekend I went and got from our friend's factory our 86 AH Civic hatch, but it's a Grand Prix edition. Yes.
Are you taking it to the Grand Prix, or are you just driving it around in honour of the Grand Prix?
I'm driving around in honour of the Grand Prix and to a photo shoot tomorrow. This won't go out right before tomorrow, this podcast. So aside from the people listening live, there's a bit of a top secret photo shoot going on tomorrow that involves some very important people, evidently. And I've been asked to source a few cars for that. So I think the surprise packet of the cars I've sourced might be a 40-year-old Grand Prix edition Civic. So, I'd like to...
VIP are these people? Because that car's, you know, it's good, but it's a little bit ratty.
It's a little bit ratty, but it's original.
It's original.
There's no denying it's original. And how many other AH Grand Prix...
How VIP are we talking here?
Well, what week is it, Ed?
Well, it's Grand Prix week.
Just saying. So
it's going to be what? Formula One drivers?
They still put their pants on one leg at a time in the morning, so they're not that special. But yeah, can't say too much. We'll fit you in next week if it actually eventuates. I have organised similar things that have come to completely diddly spot at the 11th hour. So yeah. I'll check back in next week with that one.
Very cool, though.
But it's still very nice to be able to be driving it around. It
drives well, that car.
It's sweet as a nut. It needs a thrust bearing. I think it's a little bit noisy at idle until you put your foot down on the clutch. That quietens it right down. But sweetest little gearbox and light and easy to drive. It hadn't been driven since November. I think I checked in the book when I started it the other day. Turn of the key.
Was the battery still connected, or did you take that off?
I just took one of the
terminals. Yeah,
terminals off.
Yeah,
That back on. Just started up first turn of the key. No overheating issues, anything like that. It's just a great little car.
Lovely.
So yeah. So no, that's pretty much me for the moment. I think that must be Scotty's turn.
Formula One week.
That would be over to me. My turn. Updates with me, so we all know that I got the Subaru Liberty.
Oh, yes, sold.
And it is sold.
Wow. Did you get what you were asking?
Not bad. Like, I'm pretty close. Happy with
close.
Is it in the traffic? Is it gone, or is it still close. Around?
I still have it because I've sold it with a roadworthy, and the nearest time I can get him for a roadworthy is next week on Tuesday. So. They're all pretty flat chat around here. I tried a few of them.
Name everywhere, Scott. It's not just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy is fantastic to deal with that I've sold it to. He's a nice young guy. He said he's happy to wait. So I said, you know, I'll just keep him updated and what's going on and get that done. He's getting his license changed to Vic. So, I mean, when he came to check it out, he must have been keen because he came all the way from Albury. So
it's a lot really of the money, really. I mean, it's done some Ks, but well maintained, and all the good stuff's been done to it. And really, for what you're asking, like, what was it, 6,800 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Missing, it's a lot of features and performance for that money.
Definitely plenty of performance for it, yeah. For what you get.
Do you have any inkling of what if it needs anything for Roby? Have you had it pre-checked or anything?
Haven't had it pre-checked, but...
Why am I worried, Scott? Your other roadworthies, I'm a little concerned.
Well, that car was 1989, so a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but still...
I don't know much of its history then. At least I know it's...
I want you getting a $3,000 bill for this roadie.
There's nothing...
I'm sure Scotty doesn't either.
It's got all pretty much new, all new brakes all through. Tires aren't that old. All the oil leaks that originally was the rocker cover gaskets that was done a couple of years ago, that's all done. Brand new water pump, brand new timing belt. They won't be any issues happening there.
Rockers all the weeping.
Lights, all the lights roses. Were. There's no weeping. All the lights.
Bushes. What are the bushes? Suspension bushes and stuff.
I had a couple of those changed just a couple of years ago on the front. So I had a wheel alignment not long ago. They didn't
boot mention grommet. Anything. Boot grommet under their wheel, the boot grommet.
Yeah, that boot.
Amazingly, this one doesn't have one, so I don't have to worry about that.
Seatbelt, untangled seatbelt.
Yeah, untangled seatbelts.
Twist.
Braid seatbelt.
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't that long ago, if you remember, I had to get the front axle changed. I got the two hubs changed and had to change an axle because it seethed onto it.
Yep. What about the wheel alignment? Sandblasted screen.
So they did the wheel alignment on it. It came back fine. Windscreen's all good. I scrubbed the crap out of that.
Yeah.
Headlights.
Yeah, I did all that. So every single light works. I tested every single one, including the one.
No, clean,
the...
clean, not
polishing.
Oh, clean. Yeah. I polished them up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
It's all polished. That's all polished. Every single light works that you could think of. So.
Living in a good world, Scotty.
So we'll wait and see. All I could think of is maybe there's some kind of bushing that's got a crack in it that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything works. There's no rattles. Nothing. It's just when he took it for a test. When he took it for a test drive, I just let them go. He left his car there and off he went. He said when you come to a complete stop or something, there's a little shutter or something with the car. I was like, I never noticed it myself. So
yeah, whatever. That's just how it is.
Interesting. But I think it's a car you haven't. Yeah, I think if it's a car that you haven't driven before, you're going to pick up on little things. But I've driven it for so many years.
Yeah.
I don't notice stuff like that. It just seems fine to me because I've driven it for so long.
Yeah.
And you know the car.
I think
you've had it for so long.
Yeah, I think that is my update done. Other than going to the Grand Prix on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Very nice. Hello, everyone. Firstly,
Chad.
It has not been a very carful filled week. But just kind of got away from me. So, well, the weekend rather, and just ended up going to the beach and stuff and. I took the cover off the 190 to just look through the books and all that stuff. And then that was like late Sunday night. So I just put the cover back on and went to bed. So,
what did the books tell you, Chad? What did you find in those books?
Quite a lot of interesting stuff. It seems I'm like the seventh owner, whoa, documented owner of that car.
Wow.
And a lot of servicing history, which is great. Like there's all sorts of like head work. Receipts for that and all regular maintenance between pretty much since new to, I don't know, 100,000 Ks ago.
Right.
Which
a lot can happen in 100,000 Ks.
That is true. That is true. You know, look, I'm not going to count all my chickens before they hatch, but most of the chickens seem to hatch pretty good.
You can look at the build plate and look for code 625.
Oh, yeah, I have not looked at that, but I will send you a photo of that, Ed, and you can decipher
your photo. Yeah.
I've got the book, like the, I guess it's the service manual, but all the way on the back of it, there's like that
data card.
So, yeah, data card, which is also stamped onto the radiator support as well.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Anyway, I'll send you both of those. And
it sounds like it's, if it's got that, it sounds like it's an Aussie car.
Yeah, no, it seems it is, yeah, because it's got all the. It's got all the, you know, new car pre-delivery checklist, all that stuff going on. So, yeah, it was purchased from Queens Mercedes Brisbane or something like that back in the 80s.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, it was very interesting going through it. It was a I've never really had a car that's had that much history, and sort of going through it really makes you appreciate that it's still around and still working for the most part. And yeah, that was cool. It was a bit of a trip down memory lane, I guess.
It makes you appreciate the pedigree of the car too. Like you get to see where it's been and all the things it's done and what it needed and you know it helps you to like really get to terms with the car.
Yeah, definitely, I agree.
You really bond with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely bonding. You know, there's parts of that car on me and there's parts of me in that car now. So, yeah, slowly working on the panels and prepping them. Laying some primer on it, and yeah, I reckon we'll see a paint booth in the next couple of months.
Wow.
Hopefully.
And so I'm gonna try and signal red, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the factory color. Yeah, I mean, like engine bay, door jams, all that stuff is still in really good nick, like in terms of paint. Yeah, look, hopefully I can get it to, you know, match pretty good. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure on how, you know, what kind of paint it is and whatnot. I'm going to assume it's like a solid, you know, two puck.
Yeah.
English red, is that the color?
No, it's signal.
Signal red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're just a two pack, but they're not metallic. It's just a solid two pack, I think.
Did I have clear on them?
I think they do go on those because it's always peeling off. When you look at those 190s, the clear is often gone on them. So
yeah, good point.
I think they do.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how the paint and prep goes, or the prep before paint.
Are you going to paint it, or is someone else going to paint it?
Look, I want to give it a go myself. I want to rent a booth, get a basic starter gun, and just try and do the whole process, like mixing the paint, making sure it's prepped properly. Yeah, just want it to be like a learning experience for myself. And if I mess it up, then, you know, whatever. I've maybe spent a few $100. If I mess it up and, you know, I'm maybe demotivated, I'll find someone to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of route I want to go down on that.
Yeah, cool. Give it a go. I've got some work for you if you turn out to be a painter.
Hey, you never know, right? Maybe I'm a bloody, I don't know if there's a famous painter, Picasso.
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, yeah. Yeah, we'll see, man. I'm excited for it. May not look it, but I am. I can't wait to get the car on the road. I mean, it's just like I'm itching to drive it with some club plates on it.
1986, that car?
Yeah, 86.
Yeah. We didn't get those here until the very first ones I think we got were 85 or very late 84.
Yeah, okay.
It came out in 82 overseas, but we didn't get it till late 84. Mm.
Yeah, so mine's like one of the earlier ones, obviously, before like they made some changes and whatnot. Yeah.
It'll be unleaded petrol though.
Unleaded, yes.
Yeah,
I believe so. I haven't put fuel in it yet. But I'll when I clean out the inside of the gas cap, I'm sure I'll know what to put in. But yeah, I have to imagine it would just be unleaded.
And the 86,
would they have been different overseas?
No, they're all not from by 86, I think they're all unleaded. The 86 also got a single serpentine belt at the front of the motor, whereas the 85 and earlier had a dual belt sort of system. So simpler system, which is mechanics talk about that being easy to work on.
Yeah, right. I'll have to look out for that.
So they were another Bruno
Sacco,
Bruno Sacco design, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows it. Beautiful design.
Yeah, I really liked them.
The really cool thing about that design is, and like a lot of good design, is you can't really tell the size of the car from the design. Like it could be any size sort of thing. And obviously it's very similar to the 126s and 124s and stuff as well. But just if you saw a photo of the car, it's very hard without anything to compare it to sort of out if it's a small car.
Yeah,
I think it's really dependent on what's around. Sometimes it looks like a regular size car, but then you put it next to an SEL and it's like,
it's tiny.
Even small. Just like, I don't know, it's something about the height of it and the narrowness or something. Yeah, it's just like, it's just a weird looking Mercedes, I suppose. But yeah, it's a very regular size car otherwise. Mm.
Can I just say, like, that car, it's over 40 years old and it was designed in the 70s. You know, it still looks like, it doesn't look its age at all, that car. Like, it looks like it'd be a 90s design. So,
I've been sending Maddie a lot of 190 stuff. I've just been flooding him. Literally everything that comes up that's cool in 190, he's been popping it. it's been good. It's obviously the algorithm gods are understanding what I've got on my hands now, and they are blessing me with all of it. So what else have I done? Not much. I attempted to clean the garage, and I just sort of said no. I've done too much this weekend, and just went and chilled instead. That's about it for me, I guess. Yeah, that's all the updates. Matty or Alan?
Me? Alan, we'll go to Alan. Alan, updates with you, man.
I am going to, I think, put the MX-5 on for sale.
Why?
I lost the drag race to a hybrid Camry, and
oh, come on. Oh, don't let that be your demise.
It's hybrid. I mean, everyone's going to lose that.
Everyone would lose to it.
Yeah. 160 kilowatts in the hybrid Camry and a CVT, which kept in the power band with me and my manual, you know, just couldn't keep up.
No,
it was close. It was close, but he still won. And I don't know. I don't think I can hold on to that car anymore.
I think you got the only car that could beat that out of us, maybe.
A Tesla, maybe.
Well, no, he's F6.
Yeah. None of my cars would beat that.
No. Scotty's roller could do it. Your i30.
Oh yeah, true. My i30. Yeah, okay. I'm not even you know, counting that as part of the fleet. But Alan, yeah, man, that's shit.
Yeah, it was. If it was a regular Camry, even though, you know, they don't make the V6s anymore, I think I would have felt better about it. But since it was just the hybrid, I just thought, really, this is how it's going to go. You know, it's if ever I felt a lack of power in the MX-5, it was, you know, that day. Just hurt. Yeah, go on.
That's new cars these days.
Like, all new cars are ridiculously fast. Like that, they just quick. Do not, Alan, I'm telling you, as because you'll be like, I wish I didn't sell my MX-5. The MX-5 is not about power. The MX-5 is about, you know, handling.
No, it's not. Yeah,
and chassis balance and.
It's more about being on the bends and just having a good time through them. So I do understand that, but you know, I've always thought that I could possibly go for something that's a little more powerful in that front. But look, if anyone's listening is interested in the MX-5, wants to throw me a good offer, I will let it go because I'm always open to having another car. Right now, considering I drive the D-Max, I drive the STI, and I drive the MX-5. I know, you know, we're a group of gentlemen that have multiple cars. I don't think I want to juggle any more than that. So if I do want to move to a different car, whether it be, you know, a Century or something of, you know, similar nature, I am going to have to move one of the cars along. I can't move the DMX along because it's technically not mine. And I don't want to move the STI along yet. So it would be the MX-5 that goes. So if somebody's willing to throw me a good offer, I'm willing to let it go and, you know, move on to the next car adventure.
Get a crown.
Yeah.
Century.
If you had one of those, I'd tell you to sell it in the MX-5.
It depends what about you, Ed? What you do when it comes to driving, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's... Because, again, the STI can also do the spirited drive very nicely. It's very planted. You've got the all-wheel drive. Plenty of power. So, you know, going for something a little more of a luxury drive wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I guess. Because it's all about, I guess, we've got a finite amount of time here. So, you know, even though I'm relatively young, I'd say, in the group of people here, it's still, you know, you never know what comes. So using that kind of opportunity to maybe experience more cars is probably the best thing I can do. And I've had a good few years with the MX-5. So it's not like on the shopping block.
How many Ks have you done in that car?
I have, I think, done about 5,000 Ks since I've owned it.
That's not much.
No. considering, you know, it spent a few months just sitting at my sister and brother-in-law's place and all that. So I think I got it at like 131, 132 or something. Now it's at like 136.
Okay.
Maybe you should send some photos around the chat.
I will.
I was going to say to you, Alan, I'll make you feel better. I beat my friend's Commodores and Falcons in a Camry. So that's... If you thought losing in an MX-5 was bad, imagine losing in a Commodore or a Falcon. So,
can't talk tops. Camrys are rocket ships.
They are. Especially a V6 one. They are a bloody quick car.
That's the real reason why they got rid of them. They were too fast. They're like, we're going to get in trouble sometimes. And Toyota never likes, you know, racing and illegal activities. So they're like, axe it.
I've got one in the car.
You do.
My friend had a Nissan 350Z track edition manual a few years ago. And I had back when I was at BMW, I was driving a first series E90 320 diesel and I beat him. It was wet and he couldn't get traction very well, but nevertheless, I beat him and he was like, oh, that's it. I'm so
winning's winning, you know, whether it's by an inch or a mile or, you know, in absolutely unfavorable conditions.
And I beat my friend Alex. Alex in his old Volvo 164 that's been highly modded, carbs. No, it's injected, actually. So not carbs. It was full engine rebuild and blah, blah, blah. He spent hours and hours and hours on the thing. And I beat him in a stock standard 3.8 Berliner that I owned a while back. And he was like, ooh, depresso.
Edward, you're never late in the 3.8. You know the rules.
Okay, that's what I said. Never late in the 3.8. Hey, I went to a Volkswagen show on the weekend, Dubfest. Which is sort of a little second year they've done it out in Ringwood. It's quite a good day. A lot of Oxys turn up. And there was a Type 3 Fastback there from the 70s. And it had the boot engine compartment, you know, popped. And I was like, that doesn't look right. It was a little V8. No, V6. It was a little V6 in there. And I think it was a Holden V6.
All right.
Yeah, well.
I think it was probably a 3. Because I was, and then I started thinking, well, hang on, what engine is this? Holdens were straight sixes right up until the VN. Am I right about that?
Correct. Yeah.
So maybe it was a VN 3.8. I was saying to the guys standing around. Yeah.
You know what they say?
I know. So imagine that 3.8 in a little Type 3. Woof.
That'd fly.
You all right?
Go very well. Updates with me.
Yes.
So we go on to Fraser Island, as you would know, Edward. Yes.
Or known as Kigari.
Kigari, correct. So I said to myself, you know what, the leak's getting really, really bad in the Typhoon. Like the rear main leak is to the point now where it's just like, yeah, I need to do it. So I didn't realize how bad it was until I actually moved the car out of the garage when I was moving house. And I was like, yeah, that's a fair bit of oil there. So I'm going to get that sorted. So while we're away, I'm going to drop it off, get that done. I'll get the sump gasket done as well. I'll just do a bit of like a few little while you're in there kind of jobs. So slave cylinder and everything. But I'm a stickler for genuine parts, as you know, and I priced up everything because like I've already got the clutch and everything ready to go. But they're like, you may as well change your slave cylinder as well while you're in there, because it's an internal slave cylinder, not an external slave cylinder. So it's while you got the gearbox out, you do it. Cool Ford trade price is $1,410 for a slave cylinder.
Whoa, mama!
Oh,
just get yours re-kitted, like resealed or whatever.
Well, I went to Super Cheap and I was like, well, what can I get it for? It was $210. I was like, I'll buy that one.
Oh, God.
It's like a Clutch Industries brand, not a Ford inverted commas brand. A Motorcraft part. So
wow.
I am gonna keep the original one and I will get it redone. Because like the original clutch is coming out of it and it's still good, so I'll just keep them aside because it doesn't really take much space. But yeah, I could not believe, like I got a genuine rear main seal. I was like, oh yeah, you know, that was like $40 or something. I was like, yeah, sure. And then And then I got, and I was like, oh, can you price me up for the, you know, for the slave cylinder? And then and the guy's like, oh yeah, it's a $1,410. I was like, oh my god, I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm not buying that. Yeah,
goes without saying.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not spending that for a part that's about that big, which is just insanity. I also asked for a sump gasket from Ford, and they're obsolete. Lots of parts are obsolete for it now, so which is really, really weird because it's a Falcon, like it's just a sump gasket. So, but anyway, I was like, I'll get that. What else did I get? I got a turbo return line gaskets as well, because that for the oil, because that's all connected to the sump and everything. So I just thought I'd change those, give it a fresh, give it a birthday. And she should be all good with a new remain, new clutch, and ready to go. So, that will get done while we are away. Any other updates?
Oh, you're not doing the transmission yourself.
I'd love to, but I'm only enjoying my holidays this time, Scotty.
I thought you'd do it as a bit of a practice, ready to do mine.
Yeah, I mean, I can. No, so yeah, I can definitely do that, Scotty. Or we can do a working bee. But yeah, that's been pretty much it in terms of that. The PSRST has been fine. I haven't spoken about that car in a while, but I've been driving that a lot actually recently, and it's been great. I've been really, really enjoying that car. It's fun to drive. It's just a, you know, it's got a lot of character, and the three cylinder noise is fun, and a really, really good car to drive. I'd love you guys to actually drive it now properly, seeing that it's run in and you can enjoy it a little bit more. But yeah, I've been really, really enjoying that as of late. So that is pretty much it on my end. Now, gentlemen, tonight's topic is we discussed. Now, Edward, you had this idea a few weeks ago. We were chatting as to, you know, it began by discussing your age, which we didn't mention exactly, but it also went to like, oh, you know, if you look after yourself like you look after your car, you know, change your oil, eat good food, et cetera, et cetera. And then we started saying, okay, well, what car would you be? So Edward, this was your idea. And I think you wanted to run with this thing, as we've got, you know, six people on tonight. I think that's a great, great idea. So
yeah, it's sort of, you know, like people, you sort of hear that it started because I was likening the human body to a car, you know, like if you put good fuel in and good quality oils and you have regular exercise, and the car responds quite well to that. Same with the human body, you know, if you go for a run every now and again or a walk or whatever, and, you know, don't eat Maccas every night, well, hey, you're probably going to last longer. So not always, but most of the time. So then it started this, you know, we've all done this with pets. Like, oh, if you're a dog, what breed would you be? You know, well, if you're a car, what would you be? Now I haven't thought too much about other people, but we can probably work through it in a logical manner and see what we all think. But for me, I thought, in my mind, see, what I am in my mind is not what I actually am to the outside world, I don't think. So in my mind, I thought, well, I'm like a Mercedes Pagoda, you know, my dream car. I'm timeless and classy and beautiful lines and, you know, stunning from every angle and mechanically robust. And
Edward, you are all of those things. You know you are.
Very kind of you. But then I started thinking, Ed, that's what you want to be. You know, this sort of timeless George Clooney style model or something, you know, but that's not the reality. The reality, and the car I came up with for my reality, is this: a Peugeot 406 HDI sedan manual.
Nice.
So
why HDI?
Well, let's look at the facts.
It's economical.
It's a comfortable car. I'm a comfortable person. It's not impractical or super sporty, but it's sort of got a bit of flair about it. You know, it's got a nice line.
Bit of Gallic charm.
Bit of Gallic charm, David. And it's incredibly, I'm a tight ass, you know, it's incredibly frugal, that car. And it can drive over things and it can go on road trips. But, you know, it's sort of like just a comfy friend, you know, that's always there, but not too boring. It's got a little bit of spark about it, even though it doesn't have spark plugs. So I thought, in my mind, I want to be the Pagoda, but the reality is I'm a 406 turbo diesel manual sedan.
Anyway, that's what I came up with.
There are worse things you could be at.
You've probably got other ideas. But
I was going to say you're more like an early Saab 900 turbo. Because no, hear me out. Because one, you know, they're bought by, you know, clever individuals and at the time designers and graphic designers and all graphic designers wear glasses.
You're not a graphic designer?
I'm not saying, but I'm saying you look like you'd be a designer and architect from back in the 80s and 90s. And I think that's
like bald with fat glasses makes me look like that.
Absolutely. And anyway, I'm standing by that, and you know you're going to go for the turbo because you've got a bit of spunk, as we all know. You're a bit of a character.
But my 406 HDI is a turbo car still. It's still a turbo car.
But
it's not petrol turbo. It's diesel turbo. I'm very practical.
Well, I mean, a 900 turbo is a practical car. You can still fit people in there. Absolutely.
Or a combi coupe? What is it? What body?
Coupe, but. You'd be black on black, you know.
I hate black cars.
I know you do, but you're wearing a black t-shirt right now. So
why am I a black car? There's no way I'd be a black car.
Oh, well, what color would you be then, Ed?
Something. Oh, I always love that light metallic blue in those Saabs. I'd be that, like a diamond light metallic blue.
Okay.
Which you could get on those. You could get that.
You could also get like a tealy green color.
Get it in the Peugeot too. Light metallic blue, beautiful. That's me.
Do you guys agree with his statement of himself, or would you say he's something different?
I can see he's given a lot of thought.
He has given heaps of thought.
Like 10 minutes.
No, I can see the practicality, the sensibleness of it.
Peugeot.
But
all right, let's move on to someone else.
No, but Edward, you're reliable. Peugeots aren't reliable.
Those diesels, they are.
Diesels are.
They're okay, but they're not known to be a good
people who have those. They like them.
All right, okay.
Is this because Ed and I spoke to a fellow the other day that's got a Peugeot diesel, and he's planning
front of mind. It was front of mind.
He's actually building a submarine that's going to be powered by a Peugeot diesel. So you want it to be reliable if you're building a submarine.
He'd like that. You'd think he'd know.
He believes. Right,
let's move on to someone else. Let's move on to David Prince.
David Prince, what do you think you are? And then we'll
What do you think you are? And then we'll tell you if that's rubbish or not.
Well, I was thinking, I did think about this last week when I couldn't be on and it was mooted as a possible subject. I didn't have a particular model come to mind straight away. I just thought something old and reliable. But
we can narrow it down, David. We can narrow it.
We can.
First of all, we'll say, what size car are you? You're not a big car guy.
I'm not a big car guy. A
smaller car guy.
Yeah. CB Accord size car, maybe?
Which is like a Gen 2 Accord?
No, about four. So a late 89 to about 93 4-wheel steer record.
See, that could be
yep.
Japanese flair, very reliable, well built, you know, like quality build.
That's
I don't mean like you're a security guard, I mean like quality build. And 4-wheel steer, bit of flair in the
flair and a bit of.
And the leather and the roof, you know, nice. You like a roof?
I do. So that sort of resonates, I think.
I don't think you'd be a two-door car because, you're quite practical.
Yeah, I'm a bit too practical for that.
Yeah. But you might be a manual. You love a manual.
I do love a manual, yes.
You'd be that in a manual.
Yeah. Actually, I know where that car is.
Yeah, Honda Australia.
Honda Australia, I've got it. I was thinking originally more conventional, but I really didn't want to say that I was a Camry or a Magna or something as much as...
No. You've got more, you know, flair than that.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing anyone
said. Camry or Magna. You're not Camry or Magna, no.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely not Camry or Magna, but I was gonna give you a bit more modern, David Prince. I was going to say a first-gen Euro.
Okay, I'll take that.
It's along the same lines.
Yep, it is along the same lines. It's still in the Accord family. But like I was going to say, very suave, still good after all these years, you know, cracking to drive.
All these years. These are so many years.
No, but it, with all with
so
all
many respect, owners.
But it's
your David's only been married once. It's not that the owners.
He is the reliable you know, but also very suave and sophisticated man, which is David Prince, and he is and I think an Accord Euro is still a sophisticated car. I was gonna
you are correct.
Well, so far we're both 4-door practical-ish sedans, David. You and I,
indeed.
Who's next, Scotty? Scotty go?
I'll go next. But I was thinking with David, because he's always so well kept and neat and that I could easily see him at Pebble Beach Concourse.
Oh,
that's where he'd be.
With your
Euro or something.
And my flat cap.
He's just.
Pebble Beach.
True.
He wouldn't, but it's just the way he is and looks and nicely kept that he'd fit in there perfectly.
What car would he take to Pebble Beach if he was a car?
Yeah, that's the thing. What car would he be? He'd fit in there.
He'd take the Euro.
Okay, so it's got to be European.
No. Well, he'd take the Accord there.
2000 GT.
The four-wheel steer. Oh, 2000 GT. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Still Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see David as not a Japanese kind of guy, Mr. Bunting.
It'd be a 2000 GT rocking up at Pebble Beach.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. I'll step into those shoes comfortably. Thank you.
All right. I was thinking of mine last week, and I've come up with the Fiat 500.
Fiat 500?
The early one or the old one?
Not just any Fiat 500. It's the newer Abarth version.
Oh, nice.
And I'll go into details as to why.
Okay.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not extremely tall person, just average. So I'm thinking the Fiat 500. But I do always work on the glamour muscles at the gym and things like that. So I'm a little bit pumped compared to the original version. So in the looks-wise, so just that little bit more pump guards and things. And what also works well is I'm fairly unreliable and will break down because I didn't look after my back when I was younger. I'll always be out and not that great. But
they can't lift heavy.
When I'm on song, I'm pretty good.
When you're working, you're good. Actually, I see that, Scotty. I will agree with that. I think that's a great take of you. What color? What color would you be?
What color? Ooh, it's a good one. I would probably be a little bit flashier. I'd want to kind of maybe stand out, but look nice at the same time.
Burgundy metallic?
Blue? I think that would be perfect. Mm. I'm not standing out like a young kid or anything like that, flashy, but just nice. Nice looking. I think that burgundy metallic would be perfect.
There's one down my street. He's got that 500 Maserati edition thing with the folding roof, you know, the... Mm-hmm. Canvas top. It's quite
nice. Yep. That's how much thought I actually put into it for myself.
That's impressive.
Reasonable.
It's not bad.
Don't say you'd be one of the new electric ones. I was in as a gun.
Not new. No.
Bright, vibrant. You know, electric blues and electric greens and stuff.
Nah, that's not me.
No.
What about Chad Meister?
I struggled with this a little bit. When Maddie mentioned the question to me last week, I tried to have a think, and I think I might be missing that part of my brain where I sort of make that connection a little bit. And what I actually did was I took like an online quiz, because it just sort of runs through, like, you know, it just gives you questions or like multiple choice answers for questions.
Yep.
And it kind of just like gauges your, I don't know, personality maybe. And, I actually thought I was being very, conservative on the answers, but I ended up being a Mark II Golf GDI.
Not bad.
Which Mark II GDI. I'm a little bit upset that it's not the Mark I, but also I like that it's a GTI, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
I see myself as a little hot hatch type of person, so I think that kind of suits me.
Absolutely. Oh, I can see that.
You've got two hot smaller cars and two practical sedans.
Yeah. And the people mover. Let's not forget that.
That's true.
Where's the people mover?
Targo.
Yeah, but I'm not that.
Oh, you're saying, oh, we've got two in this group, of each. In this group. Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah.
Like David and I are practical sedans. You and Scotty are sort of hotter hatches.
Hot hatches, yes.
Then we come to Mr. Singe.
All right. So what I ideally thought of myself, again, I think similar to Scotty, I'm not particularly tall. I'm a bit girthier. So I was thinking something like a Dodge Viper, right? You know, something nice and beefy. But looking at it more honestly, I think it's more like a Dodge Caliber.
Oh gosh.
Jesus.
No, we don't see you as a Dodge Caliber.
Not at all. SUV thing.
Why have you gone American?
And particularly with the Volkswagen turbo diesel engine, 2 liter. Which was offered in Australia. Because you know it runs at a puff very quickly, being a diesel, you know, it only gets up to about 3,000 RPM. And again, it runs out of puff. It was, especially the commercial, if you remember the commercial, they actually dubbed a V8 over the sound. And Dodge got in trouble for that. And so that's my other push. I'm like, you know, sometimes when I do present myself, it may be as something mightier than I actually am. And that commercial really perfectly fits it. But when you get down to it, it's, you know, a relatively weak 2 liter with I think it was a CVT transmission. Wasn't very good. Did not get very, very good fuel economy. Overall, just something that you probably wouldn't want to have around.
Well, Alan, this is very bad. This is a very poor image of yourself.
But it's probably more accurate, I feel. So that was my, you know, it wanted to be something. It wanted to be an SRT8 of sorts and, you know, have a V8, but you know, you got to deal with what you get.
Did they come with an RT badge?
You could get them as an RT. Yeah,
you could get them as an RT, and they did have an SRT4, at least in the States, that you came with a proper 6-speed manual.
Okay, well,
it was a Warhawk.
Let's go with that. That sounds
better. Yeah, go with that. I think that's more fitting.
All right, I got to...
Especially the name, because you said you're not that tall, and you know hawks aren't that big, but they're pretty aggressive.
So he wins.
I'll be the Warhawk caliber.
I like that.
And then we get to Matthew. Now, what? Now, Matthew, I would think is, you know, maybe we should all have a little stab at Matthew before he gives us what he thinks.
Well, you go first.
I was just going to say, Matthew is 100% an Australian car.
An LTD?
Got to be Australian.
All right. Well, how about I tell you guys, and then you can roast me, and then we can roast each other's choices, because I'm with you, Edward. I'm with you on that. I looked at myself and I'm like, well, I'm a very practical man. I help people a lot. I always go out of my way to help people and do things. Yes. And what cars help people better than utes? Utes help people every day. You know, I'm not talking about that dual cab bullshit, but I'm talking about proper
ute.
Falcon ute, Commodore ute. Yeah. And I was like, what's a cool ute? And I'm like, the Sandman's the coolest car in the world, but I'm not a cool individual. So that ruled that out for me. So I was like, because I wanted to be a Sandman. I was like, oh, Sandmans are cool, but I'm not.
You're
I'm not
actually an AU Forte ute.
Waterfall grill. No, they never came with a waterfall grill, but that's another story. Okay.
You are a Rip Curl limited edition.
I was just about to say that. I'm a Rip Curl. Limited,
great minds think alike.
Limited in breeze green, that lovely green color they came in. Rip Curl. I'm not a turbo. I'm just an XR6 because I'm not the quickest person in mentally or on the racetrack.
XR6 in green.
But you know, I got my sports. You know, I was optioned with manual, so you know, I was all right. But something a bit special. You know, the Rip Curl edition, and I'm a practical guy. I help people out a lot. Who's the first person you call when you need help? Got a mate with a ute.
I think that's a good. That's good fitting.
That's a BF, is it, Matty?
BF, yeah. BF Rip Curl Ute in breeze.
Vegan friendly.
Vegan friendly, and I've got I don't have the hard lid. I've got the soft tonneau cover because I want to be practical. I'm a practical guy.
And you're soft at heart.
I'm soft at heart too. That's kind of where I thought I was. I'm reliable as well. You know, like the Barra, they do a million kilometers. So I'm happy to be something Aussie, and hold the fort down for Aussies. But You know, I really thought about it, and you were spot on, David, because I love green, and that breeze greens are one of my favorite colors. So it'd be the breeze green, Rip Curl, XR6, not a turbo.
Just
something reliable and a BFG, big friendly giant. I think that's where I am. So, all right. So let's just break this down. Rip Curl Ute for me, Edward Bunting. You are the Peugeot 406. You said,
I think I'm the 406 HDI manual, but you thought I was a Saab Turbo.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all right. We'll get to that. David Prince is a Accord four wheel steer. Scotty Doe is the would you say 595 or 695? The more powerful
595. Not on steroids.
Chad,
not on steroids.
We had Chad with the Mark II Golf GTI, and Alan with your Dodge Caliber SRT4.
I think that's a dream garage right there.
Wow.
That is
the most bizarre garage in the world.
There's a few in there that I'd be putting for sale.
Which ones, Ed?
Yeah, Alum's the first to go. then Chad, I reckon you're next.
Oh, no.
I'd be pissing the Fiat off. I think I'd be keeping the Accord, the Ute, because it's practical, and of course the Peugeot. The top row stays, the bottom row is out.
Oh, bloody hell.
In that in the nicest way, you know. But
yeah.
Of course.
All right. So let's go around the screens. Let's just see. We'll ask each of you if you think that person nailed it, or what would you change for them differently. So Edward, we'll start with you. Do you think everybody's nailed their choice, or if
I think they're all pretty much on the money. You know, I was definitely going Australian. I would have gone Ford. You're a big Ford head, so I was halfway there. But I wouldn't necessarily have thought of the Ute. I probably would have gone more wagon. But I think the Ute's a very good choice. You know, it perfectly makes sense. Yeah. So no, I think I wouldn't have seen Scotty as an Italian. You know, I would have gone Japanese for Scott, I think.
A lot of the times when I was working at Super Cheap, everyone used to think I was Italian. Yeah. I get that a lot. Yeah.
Scotty Johnsonieri.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it, but
Scotty, do you talk with your hands a lot? Like that is that the reason why? Were you like,
I don't know what they're talking about, huh?
Yeah.
Were you just exceptionally loud all the time?
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'd change it to, but I wouldn't have automatically gone Italian. I would have gone more Japanese for Scotty.
A86 Bruno.
Yeah.
So tough little Corolla.
Yeah, that's all I've got on that.
David, your thoughts?
I want to give Alan a big hug. I think you devalued yourself, mate.
I don't know. I feel like Alan curriculum represents me on the market. There can be some improvements made, but as I stand, market value. You know, if I was in totaled today, you know.
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah. Alan, man, you're sounding really morbid. Are you? Can we all go to Alan's house and give him a big hug?
Like, no, I'm actually worried about.
Hang on, he's at the studio.
We'll go to the studio, Alan. We'll come give you a hug.
I was very happy with everybody else, I thought.
So for you, Maddie, I wasn't thinking about overall you, but I'm just thinking about your face and a bit of your personality.
Your face.
The way I'm thinking is your smile. And how it makes everyone else smile.
Or thanks,
mate. Thinking the 59 Austin Healey Sprite.
That's horrible.
It's just, you can't not look at it, and you can't just not smile when you see it. And that's how I feel when I see you.
Oh, thanks, Scotty. I love that. I love an early Sprite. They're a cool little car.
Bug Eye. You're talking to Bug Eye.
Bug Eye Sprite.
Yeah.
Frog Eye Spy. Yeah, I really like that, Scotty. That's a good one. What about Chad? Any differences would you make?
I actually
I think you nailed Ed with the Saab, to be honest. I really see that fitting you. Not for any bad reasons, but 9 out of 10 dentists agree. Alan, man, I wish we could step you up to like a Cries the Crossfire SRT or something.
Oh, that's harsh.
You know, no, come on. No, it's better than the caliber, right?
I'd see Alan more as a, I could see you more as a car with lambswool seat covers. You know, very comfortable. Maybe a Benz.
420 SEL. That's exactly what I was.
Yeah, 420 SEL. It's got the grandeur of the old town. You know, it's got respect in the community, and you've got respect, you know, doctor and, you know, like heritage, medical shit. 420 SEL with lambswools. I like that better for you. No, it's American shit. You're better than that, Alan.
Well, it is full size like myself, so I guess I'll give it that.
Yeah, but it carries itself so well, that car. You know, it's big, but it's
got the power.
Same time.
It has presence.
It's handsome, that car. Yeah, presence and handsome. Like one of those rocks into a street or a car park, you know about it. Like it's like respect.
Got presence. I would agree with that. Alan,
David, 100%. Yeah, I think definitely a early 90s Honda. I would have actually gone KA Legend Coupe.
Oh,
Legend Coupe.
Thank you. Okay, yep.
Distinct, stylish, still practical.
Absolutely.
Still practical.
Alan.
I think David was pretty much, quite on the ball. Maddie, since you're not a small person overall, I can't put you in a small Ford. But otherwise, I feel, given your nature and everything else and the practicality that you also possess as a person, small Ford would have fit you something nicely, like a Laser. Mm. But given you're a reasonably sized gentleman, I feel the Ute sorts you out nicely. With Ed, I think, I was actually thinking of something Merc for you, Ed.
Ooh.
Not terribly new, not terribly old, but something that's a little more timeless.
What model would we hone in on, Alan? Like, are we talking 80s, 90s, or are we talking the 2000s? Where are you?
I'd say 90s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, all right. Certain models in the 90s I'll take.
202.
Oh, 202. I like a 202.
202 wagon.
Oof. 202 wagon. Yeah, that's nice.
I'd hop in, yeah. That's a 202 wagon.
Yeah, you're hot in my house here. Thanks, Scott. They didn't come in a diesel, the 202 wagons in Australia, but the sedan did, the C250D.
D, correct, yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
that's a five-cylinder?
That is a five-cylinder, yep.
Tasty.
Chad's got it pretty solid, but I also would possibly see Scotty in something Japanese as well. Just given, Scotty has personally owned us some European stuff, haven't you? Even a M3 and was it a C43?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I didn't figure you'd go Italian, but, I can still see
it. I was just kind of thinking the smallness, and then it's kind of what it originally was and just bulked out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Do you remember the ad for the 500C, the bigger bodied one? Not the 500C. What was the
X.
Five-door one called?
500X?
The X, that's the one, yeah. Do you remember the ad for that with the guy dropping his Viagra tablet down the window?
And oh, my God.
Down the drain pipe, and it went into the petrol tank of the Fiat 500?
Yes. Oh, that's hilarious.
You've got to Google it. It's marketing.
It's just like the Hyundai ad I showed you today, Chad.
Oh, yeah, that was so good. Oh, my God. I'll have to share that with the guys.
But basically, it's this lady's driving a late 90s, early 2000s Sonata. And she's pulling up to a car where her husband is. And she sees her husband's car. So she's got a guy in the passenger seat. She lifts the lever, and the guy goes down, so she can't, she's having an affair with this guy, and says, "Hi, how you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I'll see you after work, honey." Drives off, puts the seat back up. Anyway, the husband's still waiting to turn at the set of lights. He pulls his chair up as a guy in the other seat. So they've both got the same car.
What if I change mine to a GTIR?
Oof, GTIR. Yeah, that's cool.
Also GTIR.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
No, so Scotty, I actually don't mind you as the Fiat 500 of Arth because you know you'll say I'm a Ferrari. I know I am. I really am. And then but you know what?
I really
want. Yeah, it's you know I really see you as that. I think you nailed that, Edward. Yeah, I see your choice. I do see it, but I also see you as a Saab and I will stand by my call. But I will agree with you. David Prince, four wheel steer Accord. Yep, that's bang on the money. Chad GTI. I thought that was a good choice, especially like an early GTI where they were still cool and not driven by dickheads. So yeah, I would completely see you in a GTI, and the Mark II was like a tougher looking GTI too, and you know it was more muscular, and I think that definitely suits you, Scotty. Yeah, I think you're okay with that, Alan. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but you are a pragmatic man, and I would have thought you would have gone something Japanese and reliable, which is
I am neither Japanese nor reliable, Matty.
Yeah, that is true. But I just didn't see yourself as that. Like, I thought you saw yourself a bit short. I think you're highly intelligent, and
Lexus.
I was going to say something high tech Japanese,
high end Lexus,
like a high end, like an LS 400.
Yeah, LS 400,
an early LS 400. Flames Wills, and the tissue box on the parcel shelf. Because you always need one of those. But yeah, lovely silky smooth V8. And you're still getting the performance there, but you're in a handsome, well executed body. I think that's I think that's you, and you know, you're nice and warm and inviting. You're an inviting, warm individual, and those sumptuous leather seats, Alan, in the LS400.
Those floor mats in the LS400 factory mats were very plush.
They were. Mm.
I do run warm, so I think the heated seats works. I think I can actually do an LS400. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Nice and big, not very fast, but smooth.
Smooth.
Sounds good, because you got a good voice, so it sounds good.
Yeah,
it does have a good voice. It's a very car talk after dark voice. You know, that's very, very smooth. All right, gentlemen. I think we kind of nailed that, to be honest.
Very good. Very good. Time for the quiz.
Before we get to the quiz, I think what we should do, I think we should look at, like, we should pick five celebrities and then like at some point in the future and we'll pick the same five celebrities and then try to pick a car for them and then like see what we'd have them as a next time kind of activity. But anyway, car talk, car quiz. You know the rules, guys. 10 questions plus some bonus questions. Let's crack on. Question number one. How many Hyundai N models are currently for sale in Australia?
Chad
got in there first.
N, not N line.
Just N, not N line. So, yeah.
Three.
Yes, I'll pay that. I would have taken three or four because the i30N can come as a sedan or hatch. So I will.
Oh, nice.
I will pay that, Chad. Question two. The XE Fairmont Gear ESP could be had with a range of engines. How many were available?
Ed. Three
is correct, Edward. Bonus question. What sizes were they?
David. 4.1, 4.9, and 5.8.
That is absolutely correct, David. Ooh, Prince. Well done. Question three. How many other manufacturers sold Toyota Corollas under another name? So like under their, you know, their manufacturer. So, for example, let's say if it was Ford, which Ford's not one of the manufacturers, they would have called it sort of Ford Sora or something, and that's not a Corolla.
In Australia or internationally?
International or worldwide?
Over all time. All time.
All time. Yep.
Whoa.
Oi.
No idea.
Chad.
Yeah.
Chad.
Three brands?
Chad, unbelievably, that's correct. Yeah, well
done. Really?
Well okay. done, Chad.
So there was Holden, Suzuki, and got to double check what the last one was, but yeah, it was a weird thing because Holden had the Nova, you know, and
got to get a Holden Nova.
Da da da, it's a car you want. Da da da. Very catchy.
Bonus point.
Bonus point for the song. I'll give you guys 0.5 each because you were singing along. How does that sound? You need the song. 0.5. You deserve that.
Just quickly, what year did the Holden Nova come out?
89, I think. Yeah.
And when did it cease?
Ran into that next model. 98. 99.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it went over two generations.
Yeah, correct.
All right, because I was like, I would have been too young to hear that commercial. So yeah,
unfair.
Question four. For things I wasn't alive for, you know.
Question four. According to a recent laboratory, as they would say in America, laboratory, yeah, study, motor oil age doesn't what?
Motor oil age.
So if it's put in David. A car, David.
Matter. David,
matter, correct. Well done. It doesn't matter. Mm. Well done, David it's Prince.
Distance driven.
Correct. It's kilometers. Absolutely. It's actually a myth when they say, oh, you've got to change it every 6 months. You technically don't have to because it's still as good.
Well, as long as it's working though, right?
Like, yeah. So if you have your engine running for X amount of hours, that would still
correct.
Count.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Question four is one of my favorite things, a brochure question. Tough, rugged, and purposeful. From the wheels up, the blank measures up against its bigger rivals. A generous load area of 1.64 meters by 1.8, an impressive payload of 570 kilos in the back, a tailgate engineered to withstand 300 kilos, and enough power to tow up to 500 kilos without trailer brakes. Unlike most pickups, the blank is built around a monocoque body, providing it with car comfort-like dynamics that add more excitement and style to your Ed.
Volkswagen Amarok?
Incorrect. The engine is a 1.5-litre 12-valve David.
Proton Jumbuck.
Proton Jumbuck. Absolutely
oh,
correct.
My God.
Lovely.
Well, wow, that's a big cargo area.
It's a huge cargo area,
it's
isn't
huge,
it?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Mm.
Mm. They're actually Jumbucks are quite pricey and sought after these days. There is a big following for a Jumbuck.
There's Score a guy check. And his mum that sorry Maddie there's a guy yeah, and his right. mum who race one at Nuggets. It's a yellow Jumbuck. So it's a good. Mum and son pair and they absolutely thrash it. It's so
that's
fun to watch.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
Have you seen people convert them to Evo 3s?
Yeah.
No.
So sick.
Wow, so sick.
Evo 3
sick.
Front ends and that they look good.
Because the drivetrain just fits straight because it's virtually a Mitsubishi Lancer, so right, it all works. So I've seen it. Yeah, it's so sick. Question number six. Actually, before we do that, score check. Scotty and Alan yet to score.
Get on with it.
Edward on 1.5. Chad on 2. Currently leading on 3.5 is David Prince. Question six. According to Holden's website, how many Holden vehicles are still on the roads in Australia today?
Closest to?
I'll give closest to. Yeah, that's fair. I'll give closest to.
Ooh, Holden still have a website, do they?
They do. It's for their servicing.
Good burn.
So according to them, there's so many cars still on the road today. That's why they're staying around to keep them serviced, which is a load of crap. But anyway, let's move on from that. But how many Holden badged vehicles are still on the roads today?
Ed. 4 million.
4 million.
I'm going to go 2.5.
2.5 says Chad.
I'll go 3.5.
3.5 says David.
I'll go 1.5.
1.5 says Alum and Scotty.
5.1.
5.1. Closest to is Alum. 1.6 million left on the road.
Oh, wow.
1.6 million too many.
Question seven.
There are some good ones.
There are some great ones. Question seven. Kia offers a 7-year unlimited warranty for their normal car buyers. They also offer a 7-year warranty for rental, hire, taxis, courier vehicles, school vehicles, However, they've got a kilometre limit. What is their kilometre limit with their 7-year warranty?
Ed. 200,000.
200,000 is incorrect.
Chad.
Chad.
170?
170 is incorrect.
Scott.
Alan.
Scott got in there next.
450.
450, 450,000 is generous. Alan.
130,000.
That is incorrect. David Prince, you are the last one to guess.
175.
175 is incorrect. 150,000 is what they give you. Still 7 years. Still 7 years. Staying question eight, staying with Kia. The current Carnival has how many engine options?
Ed.
Ed. Ed got in there first.
One.
Incorrect. Chad is next. Chad,
I think
Chad,
two.
Two, yeah, there is two. Chad, well done. Bonus question. What are they?
David.
A point for each, David. If you get them right. Petrol, there's a petrol and diesel, but you need to give me the sizing for each, please.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I was getting to that, and you jumped in, David Prince.
Chad, I'll jump in after David.
Yeah, you go, Chad.
Okay. No, give it a go, David. Give it a go. You may as well give it a go.
Is there a 2.2 diesel?
That's correct. That's 1 point. And there's another one for...
Would have to be a 3.5?
Absolutely correct. 3.5 litre V6. Oh, David Prince.
Very nice.
Well done. Question nine. Sydney auto trading magnate Bill Buckle imported a German microcar chassis to Australia to build with a fiberglass body here.
David. Gogomobile.
Gogomobile. Dart is correct. Yes, I'll take that. Yeah. Well done. Question.
G-T-O.
Oh, was he the gentleman that used to do the Shannon's ad?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. That wasn't Bill Buckle, but that was the car he was referring to.
Yes. Wait. No, that was a comedian guy, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, yeah. I remember these.
Aye, it's the dart. It's a wee ripper.
No, it's not the dart. It's not the dart. And his wife rolls her eyes at him talking, getting excited, talking about his car. I remember that.
Have we seen that before?
I haven't. Next question. Question 10. How many Mazda road paces were actually made? I'll give closest to.
Chad.
250? 250, says Chad.
Scott. 373.
373, that's very specific, so I like it.
500.
500, says Edward Buntings. So we've still got David and Alan to guess.
I was waiting for Alan to have a guess.
The hell's a road pacer?
It's a Holden Kingswood, well, Premier actually. That was put, not converted. That they put a rotary engine in it and sold it overseas.
The smallest rotary ever.
Yeah, it made the same power as the 3.3, motor, but it had no idea about torque, so it didn't go anywhere. Yeah.
I very much enjoyed seeing your face in Kanazawa, Maddie, when I said, "Have a look at this." I'm going to go with 100. 1100.
1100 says David.
What are the guesses so far?
So you've got 1100, David, Chad 250, Scotty 373, and Edward on $500 redos.
I'll just go with 1000.
1000 says Alum. The answer is 800. They made 800 of them. So Alum is closest to or not?
Thank you. Wow.
That is the quiz. Score check. Scotty, what happened, man? You had to score.
It's the internet.
Internet.
Because at the beginning I was saying my name and then I swear I got him first.
Oh, yeah.
Edward,
we're going to have to do a Kahoot style from now on.
Yeah, I prefer that. Kahoot.
And it's just the sound that's playing. Like none of the listeners will actually know the questions. They just be the Kahoot. Yeah.
Until they hear the Kahoot music.
Because you guys are obviously teachers and I've been in the education area for the uninitiated. It's basically an online service where you can go to make a quiz and people can log in with their phones and give answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that ensures a bit more fairness because everyone gets the answer, you know. But
what are you saying, Alan? Are you saying that I'm an unfair quizmaster?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, as Scotty has presented, that sometimes lag and internet issues can play a part in, you know, one person getting ahead.
It's not my fault. It's Optus.
Yeah.
Dude, you sound like my brother.
NBN.
Yeah, NBN. It's NBN's fault. You sound like my brother when he was playing COD. Oh, lag, yeah. Not lag.
It's always lag.
And campers, lag in campers is what I used to hear him yell out from yeah, scumbags. Anyway, Scotty, you have to score. Ed on 1.5, Alum on 2. Sorry, Ed, looks like you're not going to the garage tonight. Alum on... Alum on 2.
You threw it, didn't you? You threw it, Ed. I know. You didn't want to go to the garage.
Alum on 2, Chad on 3, and tonight's winner on a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.5 is David Prince. Well done.
Thank you, boys.
Very nice effort. Large.
Nicely done. That is a massacre if I've ever seen one on this lovely quiz of ours. Gentlemen, that's a podcast.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Let's do some plugs. Mr. David Prince, Mr. Edward Bunting, you guys do a lovely podcast.
It's called Auto Retro, where we talk to guests about the cars of their lives. You can find it on Spotify or YouTube and other download channels. Some new episodes are sort of in the wings, almost launched. So we kicked off with 2, and there'll be a few more happening soon.
Keep an eye out for the next one, because Byron Mathiudiakis is the next person we interview, who's a wheels journalist, and a very funny,
funny man.
Yeah, that's I'm keen for that one. I can't wait to hear that one. Scotty Doe, golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week. This came from an actual coach.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at
coach.
Yeah, when I was at the golf course, he was about to go teach the littlies. And he was just saying, if you think about how many times with your second shot would you actually hit the green? And since we're not pros, I'm not a pro or anything like that, it's very, very rarely. You are usually doing shots from, you know, 80 yards or a bit closer out all the time. So they're the shots you should be practicing the most.
Okay.
They're the ones that will get you closer to the pin. They're just, yeah, it's not very often you're going to be able to get it straight on the green on your second shot. So you practice those, and he showed me exactly how to do it, just nice and easy with the chip, just let it flow and just try and get it as close. You're not trying to get it in the hole, just trying to get it as close around there as you can to
the green.
Try and get a par, really, is what you're aiming for. Yep.
Good work, Scotty. Great tip. Chad, anything you want to plug?
Oh, no, just the fact that I'm in space. And
you're in space.
I feel like I'm Elon Musk's floating car.
Yeah.
Just floating through the cosmos.
Yeah, because these satellites going by.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Starlinks.
Yeah.
It's Space Force as well. That's happening soon, I think. So.
Nice.
Alum, you can find our podcast, but also before we get to our podcast, our good friend, Rizzy Ross.
Yes, if you are interested in the electric car space, which why wouldn't you be? They're the hottest rage these days, even though you can't charge them when you go out for the bush, you know, trips. That's neither here nor there. You can hit up our friend.
If you want to take a trip in the bush.
At carloop.com.au. He's also the man in the know when it comes to the price of new cars. So if you're looking to buy a new car, hit him up first and don't pay too much. You can also find him on Facebook, facebook.com/carloopau.
Absolutely. Like and share our Facebook page, Car Talk, TORQA with Manny J. If you missed any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch. Go to Teespring Store. Go to teespring.com. Type in Car Talk Store. Thanks to our recent people who have been buying some merch. We've sold a little bit of merch recently, which has been cool. Check out our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/CarTalkPodcast. You can support the show there. Hello to our patrons. And Alum, you can find us also on...
You find us on youtube.com.au, not .com.au, just youtube.com. You search Car Talk Podcast, or you do, you know, / Car Talk Podcast, you'll find us there. We have about 100 and something episodes up. The more are going up as, you know, we speak. Mm-hmm. And be part of our subscription journey to YouTube and future video content.
Gentlemen, we are 4 episodes away now from 500 episodes. Bum, bum, bum. So, watch this space. I'm gonna make a group, and we'll definitely do something for the 500th. That'll be fun.
Amazing.
Gentlemen, honor as always. I'll talk to you soon. Take it easy.
Come on.
Good night.
See ya.